Let's discuss the economic rights for men in Islam. Islam gave women economic rights 1300 years before the Western world. An adult woman is allowed to own or disown a property without the permission of anyone. This right was given to her 1400 years ago. The first time in the Western world that a woman was allowed to own or disown the property without the permission of her husband was in England in 1870 under the Married Woman Properties Act. In Islam, if a man does work and a similar sort of work is done by the woman, she is entitled for the equal pay. There is no text in the glorious Quran or in the authentic hadith which prevents a woman from doing any lawful work. The point to be noted is that the work she does, it should be within the purview of the Islamic Sharia. She should maintain her hijab and modesty. We want our women to take up professions such as doctors, gynecologists, nurses, etc. If I want my mother, if I want my sister to maintain her hijab, and if I want to take her to a lady doctor, we should see to it that our women folk do become doctors. The other noble professions are professions such as teaching. All the professions which involve the exploitation of the woman's body are completely prohibited. For example, dancing, modeling, singing, etc. All these professions are prohibited in Islam for the woman. Many jobs, many professions which are prohibited for the woman are even prohibited for the man. For example, working in alcohol bars, in gambling dens, in dishonest businesses. In Islam, it is not the duty of the woman to look after the financial aspects. It is the duty of the man to look after the financial aspects. And before marriage, it is the duty of the father and the brother to look after the financial aspects. And after marriage, it is the duty of the husband and the son to look after the lodging, boarding, clothing, and financial aspects. In Islam, a woman need not work, but if both the ends don't meet, and if she voluntarily wishes to work, she may work, but no one can force her. And she can take up professions such as pottery, weaving, knitting. And she can also work in office where there is proper segregation of sexes. She can also work in a factory where there are different provisions for a man and a woman. And she can also do a business. But if she has to deal with a na-mehram, it is preferable through her mehram, that is her husband, her father, her brother, her son. And in Islam, a woman is financially most secured, as during marriage, she's on the receiving end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, in Surah Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 4, وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً and give the woman their dower as a free gift. And in Islam, for marriage to solemnize, mehr is compulsory. It is the man who gives the dower to the would-be wife. In India, it is exactly opposite. It is the woman who gives the dower to the would-be husband. And depending upon the status, if the man is a graduate, he may demand 1 lakh rupees. If he's an engineer, he may demand 5 lakh rupees. If he's a doctor, he may demand 10 lakh rupees. As though cattle and herds are sold in a marketplace. Demanding dowry directly or indirectly from the would-be wife is completely prohibited in Islam. The parents of the groom cannot go and tell the parents of the bride that, you know, my son, he likes to travel in a Mercedes car, indicating that I want a Mercedes car for dowry. You cannot go and tell that, you know, my son, he likes to live in a 4-bedroom apartment, indicating that I want a 4-bedroom apartment in dowry. Demanding dowry directly or indirectly from the would-be bride is completely prohibited. And willingly, if the parents of the bride want to give you something, you can very well accept it. But demanding dowry directly or indirectly is completely prohibited. And in Islam, irrespective whether the husband is rich or poor, it is his duty to look after the lodging, boarding, clothing, and financial aspects of the wife. In Islam, a woman may also work. She may also do a business. But she need not spend a single penny on her lodging, boarding, clothing, and financial aspects. She may keep it for herself. It's the husband in the family who's supposed to look after that. And in Islam, if a woman gets widowed or if divorce takes place, she receives financial support for the period of iddah, that is the waiting period. And if she's pregnant, she receives it for the delivery. And if she has children, she receives it for the children